Ezekiel 22, guys, head there. And I got a message. I got about 30 minutes, and I'll be done probably quicker than that. So pay attention. Sit up straight. No talking. We'll be turning different spots as well. Ezekiel chapter 22, and we'll read just one verse, the same verse that Brother Drake read. And again, good job, buddy. And I love giving you guys opportunities to do that. And I'll let the next guy that's going to be doing it let you know soon. Let's look at verse 30. Okay, same verse that Brother Drake read. It's a great verse, okay, for all of us. Listen. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to try to look on with somebody. If there's no one around you, then just listen well. Ezekiel 22:30 says this, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." We could go and study this passage and really in the context, but I remember growing up, and even now, and even what Brother Drake just preached, this applies to all of us. God is looking for people to stand in the gap. Hey, listen. God is looking for young people, teenagers, Christian teenagers, to serve Him, to give their lives to Him, to accomplish things for God. You can do that as a teenager. And listen, the verse says, and it's really sad, the end of this verse, it says that he sought for me. He looked for someone to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, but I found none. Couldn't find anybody. The message tonight is simply called Stand in the Gap. Stand in the Gap. And you say, well, what does that even mean? Listen, it can mean a whole bunch of things. Really, the main thought of this message is, as a youth pastor, Pastor Donald, for my teenagers, I want you to give your life to Christ. I want you to serve God with your life. Drake said it right. Not everybody in here is called to preach or called to marry a preacher or whatever, but all of you are called to be good Christians. All of you are called to do right and live right. All of you are called to obey this book. Listen, I know that not everybody here is called to preach, and that's okay, because here's the thing. He wants to be a pastor. I am a youth pastor right now. Maybe one day I'll pastor my own church. If everybody gets called to preach, then who do I even pastor? Because everybody's out preaching. We need godly members of the church. Hey, we need godly businessmen and godly mothers and wives and families. Listen, we need that. But God is looking for young people to stand in the gap and to serve Him. And not half-heartedly. I'm talking about all the way. Not standing halfway in the gap or having one foot in there, but all in saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. I will obey your word. I will do right. I will follow your plan for me. I will have the right kind of friends. On and on we could go. God is looking. And so, unfortunately, nowadays, teenagers, even in this room, God may be looking down and saying, no, I can't find anybody. I found none. Man, I know, obviously, many of you young men, young ladies said, man, I want to serve God with my life, and praise God, I believe you. But listen, guys, it's more than just saying it, it's doing it. So I want to go through a few things tonight, and I'm going to go quickly because I don't want to have to rush at the end. But God's looking, and in this verse it says, I found none. Why aren't there more teenagers giving their lives to God? Truly, I preached last week on being continually committed, not just making a one-time decision, then going back to the old ways. But I'm talking about being truly committed to God. Why don't more teenagers really, man, give everything to God and live their whole life for God? Why is that? Why is that even in this room right here? Many of you have said, I want to give my life to God, but you haven't really lived for Him yet. You may be saved, but you're not living like you're a Christian, and you're not living your life to please God. Why is it that more teenagers don't decide to stand in the gap? And even beyond that, adults too. Why don't more people decide to give their life to God? I have a few things we're going to go through. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. We're going to talk about why God can't find any. Why can't God find more teenagers to live for Him? I mean, truly live for Him. I'm not just talking about coming to church and bringing your Bible and dressing nice. I'm talking about really living for Him. I'm talking about standing in the gap, living for God, trying to be like God, trying to be like Christ. Why is it that God can't find any? 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay, I want you to look down. Oh, let me find it. Oh, here it is. Look at verse 16. Samuel, the prophet, is coming to King Saul, And King Saul had done something really stupid. I don't have time to tell the whole story. King Saul had disobeyed God. God had told him to do something, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it all the way, and he did things his own way is what King Saul did. So Samuel, the man of God, the prophet, is coming to Saul, to King Saul, to really tell him what he did wrong and to put him in his place. So look at verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Saul said, say on. So Samuel comes and said, listen, God told me to come and talk to you and tell you what you're doing wrong. And Saul, King Saul says, okay, go ahead and say it. Look what it says in verse 17. And Samuel said, he's talking to King Saul. He says, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And on and on. And Samuel begins to tell Saul what he did wrong. And really, that phrase that he said, when you were little in your own sight, that's when God used you. When you were humble, when you didn't have all this pride, when you didn't think you had all the answers, that's when God used you. And teenager, why can't God find more teenagers to serve him, to really give their life? Because number one, they're stuck on self. They're stuck on self. And what I mean when I say that is we think that we have all the answers. We think that we know better than God. We think that we can draft up a better plan for our lives than God can. And all we care about is what we want to care about. All we care about is the things that we desire. We don't really care about what God wants for our life. We don't really care about what the Bible says. We want to do what we want to do, and we're stuck on self. That's why God can't use us, because we're stuck on self. It's about me, me, me. I don't care about lost people going to hell. I don't care about my family that's on their way to hell. I don't care about what God has for me. I want to do what I want to do. I'm a teenager. I can serve God later on in life. I can serve God when I'm an adult. As a teenager, I want to have fun. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to listen to my music. I want to do what I want to do. And that's why God can't use us, is because we're stuck on self. We know better than God. In our own mind, we think that we are smarter than God. Listen, listen, listen. The Bible says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift thee up. Listen, guys. Man, if we continue to think that we have all the answers for life, and that we know better than God, and that we don't have to obey this book if we don't want to, you say, I want God to use me. Well, he's not, if you're going to act like that. He won't. You say, Pastor John, does that mean you've always been humble and you've never struggled with pride? No, I'm not saying that. I mess up. Sometimes I get stuck on self. And God, man, he hits me upside the head and says, you need to straighten up. Listen, teenager, right now, you God can use you right now. I hope you realize that. God wants to use you right now. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to use you to be a witness and a testimony at your school. He wants to use you to be a testimony to your friends and a witness to your friends. He wants to use some of you to be a testimony and a witness to your parents or your brothers and sisters. God wants to use you to encourage somebody else, to help somebody else. He has a plan for you right now. I'm not saying it's to go off to Africa and be a missionary when you're 16, 15 years old. No, no. Listen, you're where you're supposed to be right now, in school and honoring your parents. But God's got a plan for you. He wants to use you right now. And the reason he can't is because we get stuck on self. We get stuck on what we want to do. We need to get off that. We need to humble ourselves. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If I had all the Bibles in here tonight and I began to stack them up one by one, the higher that stack got of books, the more wobbly it would get. And sooner or later, after stacking higher and higher and higher, that's going to come crashing down. And the more you think of yourself, and the better that you think of yourself, and the more that you think you don't need God, sooner or later, you're going to come crashing down. Man, teenager, don't be stuck on self. That's why God can't find anybody, because we're stuck on self. Number two, go to Judges chapter 16. Why else can't God find anybody? Judges is right before 1 Samuel, so we'll write the book right before it. Judges chapter 16, this is the story of Samson. If you don't know, I can't give the whole story. Some of you may not know the story of Samson. Samson was a Nazirite, and God had blessed him and given him this amazing, almost superhuman strength. And it was because Samson had obeyed God, and part of it in the Old Testament was he had long hair, and that's what gave him the strength. And listen, we're going to look at Judges chapter 16. Look at Judges 16 and Look at verse 16, Judges 16, 16. Samson's doing a lot of dumb things through this passage, through these chapters. Listen, God has a great plan for him, but he starts doing the wrong thing. He starts dishonoring his parents, not doing what they want. He starts hanging out with the wrong kind of people, dating the wrong kind of people, and the enemy, and he's just being real stupid and breaking the vow that he had made to God as a Nazarite. In verse 16, here he is. He's with this woman who's not a good lady, and she's trying to find out the secret of his strength. And really, she's working with the enemy, because Samson was, man, he was a machine. This guy, no one could take him. And Delilah is her name. She's trying to find the secret to his super strength. Verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. And listen, before these verses, throughout chapter 16, she kept asking him, how do you have your strength, Samson? And he would lie to her and say, well, if you do this, then I lose my strength. And he kept lying to her, and she kept trying to get his strength. And every time it was a lie, and he had his strength still, and he protected himself, and she was getting annoyed. So it says, it's a great, great verse, so that his soul was vexed unto death. She annoyed him so bad, he pretty much wanted to kill himself. It says, I can just picture Samson. She's like, Samson, why? And he's just like, ah, woman, leave me alone. And she's just annoying him. Look what verse 17 says. That he told her all his heart. And said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarene to God. My mother, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So he revealed the secret to his strength. Went against God, loved something more than he loved God, and gave in. And the rest of the story is really sad. He loses his strength. She cuts his hair when he's sleeping. The enemy comes in. They put him in jail. He's grinding the prison house. And the end of Samson's story is and he pushes the pillars down. It comes crashing down. Everybody dies. It's a really sad ending. It's a really sad ending. But here's the thing, guys. It took somebody in Samson's life to get him to do the wrong thing, to give it up. Number two, why can't God use us? Why don't more teenagers stand in the gap? Number two, because we're persuaded by people. We're persuaded by people. Number one was that we're stuck on self. Number two, why don't more teenagers stand in the gap? Because we're persuaded by people. Teenager, the sad truth is this. Every one of us has someone in our life, most likely, that think that living for God is stupid. Truth. Some of your parents, if you said, Mom or Dad, I want to go to Bible college and live for the Lord and give my life to God, they'd say, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said. And they say, what are you going to throw your life away? How are you going to make money? How are you going to provide for your family? Whatever it may be. Some of you guys say, you know what, Dad or Mom? I think that God wants me to be a preacher. And you know what? They'd say, that's stupid. There's no money in that. And you know what happens sometimes, teenager? I know. I can think of people in my own life. People in their life discourage them from living for God or doing the will of God. And that person, listen, it was their own decision, yes, but the persuasion and the talking and the discouragement from other people caused that person that wanted to live for God to get away from God. It's not always parents. Sometimes it's friends. A lot of times it's friends. You hang around the wrong kind of people. Here's the thing, guys. If you want to live for God and you're hanging around people that don't want to live for God, you're not going to live for God. It's that simple. You are who your friends are. You say, no, I'm not. I'm my own person. I'm independent. No, you're not. No, you are who your friends are, or you soon will be like them. That's the truth, guys. That's the truth. And because we put ourselves around people that don't want to live for God or don't want God's will or don't want to obey the Bible, sooner or later that becomes us. And God has a plan for us, and God wants us to stand in the gap, but we don't because we're persuaded by people. And can I just say this? If you have parents that encourage you to do right, and if you have parents that would support you if you said, I want to live for God, or I want to be, and your parents would support you and encourage you, then you better be grateful for that. You better be. Can I just say this? Let's be honest, teenagers. Please, we're a family here. You say, you know what, Pastor Donald? I don't know if my parents are saved. Would you raise your hand up? Come on, be honest. Okay? Hands down. How many say, you know, Pastor Donald? My parents are saved, and they go to church, and they love the Lord. Would you raise your hand up? Okay. Guys, those who just raised your hand, be grateful for that, because that first group of people don't have what you have. That doesn't mean they can't serve God. That doesn't mean that they can't find God's will and do it. No, all of us are capable of doing God's will. There's nothing stopping us. But sometimes we allow people in our lives to persuade us away from the will of God. Listen, hey, guys, listen, please. Please listen. Sit up. Teenager. If there's people, listen, if your parents discourage you from doing right and serving God, you can't say, well, mom and dad, you're wrong. And you're, no, you have to be respectful to your parents. But I'm telling you, I'm begging you. I mean, don't let that discourage you. The truth of the matter is when you graduate and you're on your own, the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men. My dad told me, said, man, maybe you should think about, you know, before you go to Bible college and be a youth pastor, that you should go to community college. And listen, my dad wasn't telling me if I didn't do that, he would be mad at me. He was suggesting it. And I said, Dad, I don't think that's what God wants me to do. I really think I need to go to Bible college. And you know, he didn't say, well, that's stupid, you're wrong. I said, okay. But listen, sometimes it's the other way around. The parents say, listen, if you decide to be a preacher, if you decide to serve God with your life, then I don't want to talk to you anymore. How many were at Teens Peck last year? We heard the story of Brother Abdel Judah. Remember that story about Brother Judah and his dad offering all that money and he had to turn away? Listen, there's times like that, teenager, but don't allow other people to bring you away from God. If you got friends in your life or at your school that are dragging you down spiritually, that aren't going the same direction that you want to go, if you do not cut ties, I'm not saying you got to be mean and be rude and be a jerk, but if you don't cut ties and get that influence out of your life, I promise you, you will not do what God wants you to do. You won't. Preacher boys, if you decide to hang around guys that don't want that or think you're stupid for doing it and you choose to hang around those guys, I'm telling you, you're going to get away. You're going to get away. You've got to be careful of who you allow to influence you. I understand if your parents, you can't do anything about them, you need to just trust and pray and ask God for help and be a good child and be respectful to them. Because if you're a brat to them, then they're going to think you're stupid anyway for not, you know, how are they a Christian to treat me like garbage? How they want to live for God, but they can't even treat their parents right. That's true. So you need to honor your parents. But don't allow yourself to be persuaded by people. And those who have good parents, be thankful for that. If you've got parents that support you in serving God, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. If you've got parents that are supportive of that, you need to go home tonight and thank them. Hug them. Say, you know what, thank you for pushing me to do right. Thank you for pushing me to serve God and find his will. Because not everybody has that. Go to Psalm 66, next one. We got to move quick. We got to move real quick. Psalm 66. Stand in the gap. Why don't more teenagers, why don't more people stand in the gap? Number one, because we're stuck on self. Number two, we're persuaded by people. Listen. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And verse 18, Psalm 66, 18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Number three, why don't more teenagers stand in the gap and live for God? Number three, because we're enslaved by sin. We're enslaved by sin. Teenager, how do you expect God to use you? How do you expect God to show you his will? How do you expect to see what God wants you to do when you are living in sin? When you are doing, you are knowingly doing exactly what God tells us not to do. You're going to be blinded by sin. You're not going to stand in the gap. You're going to be far away from that gap. You're not going to be anywhere near God's will because of sin in your life. And teenager, I could list sin after sin and problem. Listen, only you know what you struggle with. Listen, all of us have sin. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect at all. No, Brother Bryce ain't perfect. Listen, we know we're not perfect. But here's the difference. Some of us, we have our sin, and we're trying to make it right. We're trying to do better. And we're trying to confess it to God and say, Lord, I need help with this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to sin. I don't want to have that sin problem. I want to get victory over it. We're trying to get close to God. We're trying to make things right. And on the other hand, there's some of us that know we have a sin problem, and we refuse to deal with it. Say, well, you know what? I know I shouldn't be listening to this kind of music, but I just don't feel like giving it up. I like it. Well, you know what? I know I shouldn't be dating this person because they're not a Christian, but you know what? I really want to. Or you know what? I know I should respect and honor my parents, but you know what? They just sometimes bother me and I just got to speak my mind. And this, whatever the sin problem is in your life, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know all your sin problems. But if you refuse to get that right, you are slave to that sin. You're a slave to that sin, and God is not going to be able to use you the way he wants to. And you will not stand in the gap. You will not be able to live for God the way he wants you to because you're enslaved by your sin. Every single one of you can think right now, and I want you right now, think in your mind, what is it that you struggle with? Is it unforgiveness? Because unforgiveness is just as bad as doing cocaine. Sin is sin, teenager. Is it bitterness? Is it anger? Unforgiveness? Is it the wrong kind of music? Is it disrespecting your parents? What is it for you? Think about it. Is it pride? Listen. Is it hanging on the wrong kind of people? Is it apathy, which means you just don't care? What is it for you? And whatever it is, I'm telling you, if you don't figure it out, if you don't give it to God and confess it and get forgiveness for it and make it right, listen, teenager, you will not stand in that gap and you will not live for God the way he wants you to, and you won't know what God wants you to do, and you won't know his will, and you will miss his will. Sin separates us from God, teenager. And listen, I know if we're saved, we're not perfect. And if we die, we'll go to heaven because we're saved, even though we do sin. But it will separate you from the will of God. It will. Teenager, don't be enslaved by sin. That's why God can't use us. That's why God can't find any more teenagers standing in the gap, because we're enslaved by sin. Number four, and we're almost done. Go to Exodus. No, don't go anywhere. Just listen. Number four is this. The story in Genesis chapter 50 is Joseph. Okay, Joseph just went through the fire. Joseph was thrown in a pit by all of his older brothers and sold into slavery by his older brothers because they were jealous of him. And he was a slave in Egypt, and ended up going to jail for something he didn't do in Egypt. And then the guy who he got out, that was supposed to help him get out of jail, didn't, and he forgot. And Joseph spent all these years in jail, but Joseph kept the right attitude, and Joseph did right. And in the end, Joseph ended up being in a high leadership position in Egypt. His brothers came back. In the end of the story, I'll read the verse. I don't want you to turn there because I want you to listen. But in Genesis chapter, in Exodus chapter 3, and listen. Exodus chapter 3. Oh, you know what? Forgive me. What I was talking about was Moses here, not Joseph. Joseph at the end of the message. I didn't even look at the passage. Exodus chapter 3 talks about Moses. God had a plan for Moses, okay? Who was it he had a plan for? Who was he had a plan for? Moses. He had a plan for Moses. And God wanted Moses to go to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and have him let his people go. Say, let my people go. And God wants you to let all these people go, and they're not slaves anymore, and whatever. Well, Moses didn't want to do it. Moses said, you know what, God, I can't speak very well. So you know what, God, I'm not very eloquent. And Moses started making all of these excuses of why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. When truly, when God calls, he equips. And Moses was just, I just don't think I can do it. Number four, why don't more teenagers stand in the gap? Why don't more teenagers give everything to God? Number four, fear of failure. Fear of failure. You don't think that God can use you. Listen up here. I'm about to get real, real right now. Some of you, listen, some of you have had things happen in your life. Tragedy, problems. Some of you have, your parents have split up. Some of you have been abandoned by parents. Some of you have been abused in whatever way. Some of you have been hurt very deeply. Some of you have a rough past where you've made some bad mistakes and you've done some stupid things. And you think that because of whatever happened or whoever you are in your own eyes, you think that God cannot use you. Some of you think, you know, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have any talent. I can't preach. I can't sing. I don't like talking in front of people. I just, whatever. And you have excuse after excuse of why God can't use you. And it's fear. You don't want to give everything to God. And you don't want to stand in the gap because you're afraid you'll fall and fail. And truth of the matter is, teenager, you can't do it on your own. We're not good enough. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Listen, if you feel, I'm not good enough, we aren't good enough, teenager. We're not. But God, through us, can use us. Teenager, I'm not saying that the reasons you think you're going to fail are dumb. No, some of you probably have some good reasons, some good thoughts. You know what? How can God use me? Because this happened to me as a kid. How can God use me? I come from a broken home. How can God use me? I come from a rough area. How can God use me? I'm nobody. I'm no one special. How can God use me? Whatever, and the reasons that can go on and on. God can use you because he wants to use you. God can use me. God can use you. God can use you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your past, give it to God. Hey, your present right now, say, well, give it to God. And give God your future. Teenager, don't be afraid of failure. Because with God's help, you can succeed. Now we're going to move on. I got 6 minutes. There's many other reasons why people don't stand in the gap. Many other reasons why they don't. I had stuck on self. Maybe that's you. I had persuaded by people. Maybe there's someone in your life that's encouraging you not to do right. Number three was enslaved by sin. Maybe there's sin in your life. That's why you won't stand in the gap. And number four, fear of failure. Maybe that's you. Many more reasons we could say of why people don't stand in the gap. Quickly, I want to give you three reasons why you should stand in the gap. Three reasons why you giving your life to Christ, I mean truly giving your life to Christ and saying, God, I'll live for you. I want to be like you. I want to serve you. Three reasons why that is the best decision you can make with your life is to truly live for God. And that doesn't mean just coming to an altar and saying, God, I want to live for you. I'm talking about daily. Every day, at school, at home, living for God, doing right, living holy, living by the book. I want to give you three reasons why that is the best decision you can ever make in your life. Number one is this. Why should you stand in the gap? Number one, because there's joy in the journey. There's joy in the journey of life when you decide to stand in the gap. Paul and Silas, missionaries in the New Testament, were preaching, we're doing right, we're serving God, and they got thrown in jail for it. They were in jail for doing what I'm doing right now, for preaching. And even when they were in jail, they didn't complain. They weren't belly aching and being mad. No, no, no. You know what they did in prison at midnight? They sang praises to God. They sang praises to God. And the reason that they, in prisons, in shackles, in chains, the reason that they could sit there in jail at midnight and sing praises to God is not because the jail cell was really nice and comfortable. No, because they were in God's will. They were doing what God wanted them to do, and they could have joy. Teenager, listen, listen. I don't have all the money in the world. I don't have nice vehicles. I don't have all these nice things. No, I don't make a whole bunch of money. God's blessed me. He provided for my needs. I don't have all these great things to offer, but here's the thing, teenager. I have joy. I'm happy. I'm so glad that I get to be the youth pastor here. Listen, there's joy in my journey because me and my wife together as a team are trying to stand in the gap. We're trying to live for God. We're doing our best to do whatever he wants us to do, and God has given us joy because we're in the center of his will. Teenager, you will never experience true joy unless you're in the will of God, unless you decide to stand in the gap. Sure, you can be happy for a little while with things that you have in your life, but you'll never have real joy unless you decide to stand in the gap. When you decide to stand in the gap and live for God, there's joy in the journey. I've told you many stories about my brother. Brother Johnny has struggled with doing right and living for God for many years. And my brother called me just a few weeks ago, and he had made a big mistake in life. Had done something really stupid, possibly losing his family. My brother called me on the phone, and I could tell something was wrong. I said, Johnny, what's going on? He said, can I ask you a question, Donald? I said, yeah, what's up? My older brother, Johnny. And Johnny said, Donald, he said, are you truly happy? I said, what do you mean? He said, are you truly happy with the life that you live, with your life? And you know what, team? I didn't have to think about it. I'd have to say, I don't know. I could honestly and truly say, yes, I am happy with the life that I have. Does that mean life is perfect? No. Do I face difficulties and trials? Yes. Am I facing a trial even right now? You don't know if I am or not. I might be going through something terrible right now, but I can have joy. I can be happy because I'm doing what God wants me to do, because I'm trying to stand in the gap, teenager. And there's joy in the journey when you decide to give it to God. And when you face trials and difficulties, which you will, which some of you are right now, you'll be able to smile through it. You'll be able to have joy through it because you're doing what God wants. You're standing in the gap. Number one, why should you stand in the gap? Because it's joining the journey. Number two, why should you stand in the gap? Because number two, there's peace in the pain. There's peace in the pain. Job in the Bible lost everything. Job lived for God and was standing in the gap and doing right. And God allowed the devil to take everything away from Job. He lost all 10 of his kids, died. He lost all of his properties, all of everything. And Job lost it all. And you know what Job did? He didn't say, well, this is dumb. God, why are you doing this to me? No, Job said, you know what? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job had peace through his pain. Job had peace through his pain. Teenager, when you decide to stand in the gap, when you decide to give everything to God, you'll have peace through your difficulties. When you face a trial and a tragedy, or maybe you already have faced a trial or a tragedy or something in your life that really just hurts you, someone's hurt you and you have bitterness, listen, when you decide to stand in the gap, you'll have peace, true peace. Not the kind of peace that people get from drinking beer or from doing drugs and they think they can get high and all their problems go away. Not, that's not peace, teenager. That's not peace. I'm talking about real peace. You can have real peace. You can have joy and peace when you decide to stand in the gap. Number three, this is where I talk about Joseph. Joseph, after all that I told you about that Joseph went through, is put in jail for not doing anything wrong. And at the end of it, his brothers came and they said, we messed up, man. We messed up. And Job said, you know what? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And at the end of it all, God blessed Joseph. Number three, why should you stand in the gap? Number one, I said, because there's joy in the journey. Number two, because there's peace in the pain. Number three, there's a crown at the conclusion. The crown at the conclusion. Ms. Tasha, could you just come and play softly something? And we'll have an invitation in just a minute. You can start playing whenever you get ready. Teenager, look up here. A crown. This is what I mean. Some of you may not know what I'm talking about when I say a crown. When we get to heaven one day and face God, when we die or whatever, when he comes back to get, listen, we're going to face God, and God will give us crowns based on what we do for him. And there's many different crowns. I'm not going to do a whole study in the Bible. I can go through all the different crowns you can get. But listen, when you decide to give your life to God, look up here at me, and stand in the gap, listen, there's reward at the end. There's a reward. There is peace and joy that you never could begin to understand when you give it to God. That's why I can talk to many preachers. I've talked to many preachers before, old guys, older preachers that have lived their entire life for God, that have given all to God. And Abby was with us at the youth rally. She heard story after story from those preachers. There was three of the preachers that day on Saturday when we went up. And they've been pastoring churches for 40 years. The same church for 40 years, man. Another guy, 25 years at the same church pastoring. Another guy, 27 and a half years at the same church. And you know what they talked about? They talked about difficult times that they went through. One guy literally, his first few weeks as pastor, he was a lumberjack, and a tree actually fell on him and almost killed him. And someone said, you know what, man? You're not supposed to be here. God's trying to tell you that you're in the wrong place. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. The other preacher, he wanted to be, and he was in a terrible car accident and almost died. But God brought him through it. And he had peace. And teenagers, there's people all around you. You look at Uncle Jack and Miss Hazel that have given their whole life to serve God and to invest in you. And I would bet that if I said, Uncle Jack, Aunt Hazel, is it worth it to serve God? Is it worth it to live for God? That they would say, yes, it is. Yes, it is worth it. And teenager, I'm telling you, if you decide to truly, truly live for God and leave tonight, not the same person, but leave tonight willing to make changes, willing to give up some things, willing to start doing things in your life that God wants you to do. If you decide to do that, listen, you'll have joy. You'll have peace. And at the end of your life, you can stop and say, you know what? Yeah, there was difficulty. Yeah, there was hard times. But you know what? It was all worth it. It was all worth it because I decided to stand in the gap. Teenager, we're going to see Christ one day. We're going to see Christ. You're going to see God. Whether you believe in him or not, you are going to stand before God one day. And what's he going to say to you? Is he going to say, you know what? Well, I saved you. You don't have to go to hell, but you didn't do anything for me. Yeah, you had a mansion in heaven, but your crown rack that you're supposed to have, there's just going to be empty. Because you didn't do anything for me. Teenager, I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to face God one day, and God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I want you to have crowns. And I want you to be rewarded because you decided, I'll stand in the gap. I'll live for God. I'll do right. I'll be a witness. Hey, I'll obey this book. And I'll give my life to Christ and do whatever He wants with it. Teenager, stand in the gap. It's not easy, but it's not impossible, and it's worth it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many say, Pastor Donald, you know what? There's some things in my life, whether it's people or sin or fear of failure or whatever, that is keeping me from standing in the gap. Would you raise your hand up so I can see it? Okay then, teenager. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, I want you to come to this altar right now and say, and ask God for His help. Ask God for help. Ask God for help right now. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, I'm asking you right now, come to this altar. Hey, don't wait any longer. Don't wait any minute. Don't wait another minute. Don't wait for someone else to get up and go. You get up from your seat and talk to God. How many say, Pastor John, you know what? There's people in my life that are persuading me the wrong way. People in my life that are persuading me to not do right. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand up? Okay. Here's what I want you to do, teenager. You raise your hand. You know, there's people in my life persuading me the wrong way. Why don't you do something you probably haven't done yet? Why don't you come up to this altar and pray for that person? Pray that God will speak to their heart. Pray that God will allow you to treat them right, to treat them the right way, to be respectful, and ask God to work on their heart. Why don't you come up right now and do that? Here's a question. I want everyone to listen. Everyone listen. Maybe say, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what you're talking about. This is my first time to church ever. I've never been to this church before. Maybe you've never asked Christ to save you. Maybe if you died today, you don't know where you would go. You don't know what would happen. You see, no, Pastor Donald, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want that. No, I want to go to heaven. The Bible gives a clear way how you can know for sure that you'll go to heaven. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to save you, someone can talk to you, and I won't embarrass you. Someone can talk to you about that today. Here's the question, and listen. Everyone listening. Say, Pastor Donald, I have never asked Jesus to save me. But if I died today, I don't know where I'd go, and I want to make sure it's heaven. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Anyone at all? Say, I'm not sure if I'm... I see that hand. Someone else. I don't know where I'd go if I die, but I want to make sure it's heaven. Would you just raise your hand up so I can see it? Anyone at all? I saw those two. Anyone else? Two hands went up. Anybody else? All right, heads are bowed. We're not going to be here much longer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Stand in the gap, teenager. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another moment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to do something different tonight, teenager. We got people up here praying, people being dealt with. I want to do something tonight. Look up here real quick. Everybody else, keep playing, Miss Tasha. I say it all the time, we're a youth group. We're family, man. It's good to have JV out here tonight. First time here in a long time. We're family, buddy. This is a family here. We got to be there for each other. Hey, here's the thing. Drake said it. If you decide to stay in the gap, maybe someone else will too. If you decide to be a witness, maybe someone else will too. I want us to do something tonight. You know, it's good to have our visitors too. I want you guys to be part of this too. But here's what I want us to do. I want all of us to come to this altar. And I want to pray with you, if that's all. Come on up right now and just find a spot. And I want to pray for all of us. And we'll be done very shortly, guys. We have to be done shortly. We got to get people on the bus and people being dealt with. But I want everybody to kneel down for just a minute, and I'm going to pray with you. And maybe before I pray, you can pray with each other. Find someone to pray with. Everybody find somebody to pray with. Everybody find some young lady, find a young lady, young men, find a young man. I want you to pray together. Some of these guys have been here a while. Why don't you find some of these guys that don't know much about it and help them out? But Eric, you can come up too. But Joel, you can come up too. Find someone that might not know how to do it and just pray with each other. I don't want anybody praying alone. I don't want anybody praying alone. If you're praying alone, look up and find someone to pray with you. Felissa, could you pray with Ivory? Come on over. Pray together. Say, God, help us to stand in the gap. Help us as a youth group to stand in the gap. Help us as a youth group to do right. Help us to live holy. Help us to accomplish great things for God. And why don't you call out to God right now and ask Him for strength. Ask Him for power. Ask Him to do great things in life. Teenager, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to live for God. It's worth it to give Him your life. God wants to work. God wants to do great things.